good to see everyone's able to make it out this evening. While I was scheduled to teach, I was originally supposed to be continuing our study, the Why series, my topic being Why Believe in God. And I didn't, and obviously we're not studying that this evening. I felt I needed more time to go over that, so I apologize. We won't be continuing yet that this evening, but Lord willing, here in a few weeks, I'll be able to have that lesson. But if you would like to turn to the book of Galatians, the letter written there to the brethren in Galatia, we'll take our reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. There it reads, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So in this, the beginning of this passage, we're told of some responsibilities that we have as those who are benefiting from the teaching of others. We're told that those who are taught the word are to share in all good things with him who teaches. Some translations may have this, the word share, as communicate, but in this passage, share is more accurate. While we should also communicate with the one who is, those who are teaching to us and edifying us, Paul here is speaking of all good things being material things, our physical things that we have, things that obtain that we obtain through our prosperity. And this is describing to us the act of financially supporting those who teach the word and make that their goal, and us, those who teach us, and us supporting them in what ways that we can, and how we are ourselves blessed. In 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9 and verse 6, it reads, we see this mentioned again. It says, "Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' Is it oxen that God is concerned about, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." And also in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." So these few passages are a couple of examples of where God has ordained the ability that the churches have to support those who assist them in teaching them the word and just giving them the knowledge they need and feeding them spiritually. We've been given this ability to support our preachers and evangelists, as Brother Nate is, with a portion of the good things, as Paul says here, that God has blessed us with. "Do not be deceived," Paul goes on, "for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." The word deceived here meaning to be led astray. And when it says mocking here, it's not saying that man cannot mock God with their words and actions in their lives. Obviously, that's something that can be done. But this passage here is, I believe, is meaning that mocked mean not to treat with contempt or sneer or to ridicule God, and that this will come with punishment. It's not that it can't be done, but it will not go unpunished. God will not stand to be ridiculed. Paul says, "Do not be led astray, do not wander about, but be," he's telling them to be rooted in the truth. Have the word of God fixed in our minds, practice it in our lives, and do not ridicule or sneer at God, because it will not go unpunished. For Paul says, or because, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We all know, of course, this to be true. If you sow a thing, that is the kind in which you will get in return. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12, from the beginnings of the earth, we can see this. There it reads, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind." Scripture tells us that this is also true in the spiritual realm as well as the earthly realm. And that this principle is applied to us in our lives and how we, as Christians, deal with our material possessions, and in this case, this passage, how we deal with them in the pertaining to spiritual matters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Here showing another passage showing us that how our physical things that we have, the things we are blessed with, are to be used for spiritual gain. They're to be used for good spiritually. Paul tells us in the previous verse, as we've been reading in our passage, that we should support those who spread the gospel. And in the next verse, he compares this to using the Galatian brethren's money, or as we could apply to ourselves, of our money, in this way. He compares that to the planting of seed and what kind of harvest we can expect to proceed from that seed. "For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life." Paul continues the analogy of sowing and the use of our earthly means to further illustrate this point. Those who would sow to the flesh, meaning that a child of God who would use his possessions to satisfy his own fleshly desires alone, and that being the focal point, not just for our housing and clothing and feeding of ourselves and our families, but doing so to excess, as we are wont to do, to use our means to purely pamper ourselves and to indulge ourselves and our lives with things that we believe that we derive pleasure from. Those who do so shall reap the rewards of the lifestyle. They shall reap corruption, we're told. And to further clarify, we are in a constant state of sowing seed in this current time that we live in. The harvest is to come, but we are constantly sowing seed, whether we realize it or not. We know that if we sow an apple seed, of course, that will produce an apple tree and then more apples. If we plant corn, then we will get corn. We had a garden this spring, Jordan and I and the kids, and when we planted corn, we had corn. We planted green beans or okra, and green beans and okra came up. We didn't get sunflowers from our okra. We didn't get, cucumbers from our squash. You get what you plant. In Galatians, and if you sow to the flesh, then you reap those things. In Galatians 5 and 19 through 21, we can see some examples of the works of the flesh that are there. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And also in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7, you can read there that it says, "Those who sow to the wind will reap the whirlwind." If we use our time indulging our own carnal lifestyle and pining for the short-lived, selfish pleasures of this life, then we cannot expect any more than to reap of the same sort, which is, as all things on this earth, they will eventually come to nothing. We reap corruption. But we are told that the man who sows of the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. And as I understand it, this Spirit that is spoken of here is not specifically the Holy Spirit, but under the guidance of the Word, of the Gospel, to sow to the spirit of man, to our spirit. Remember that Paul is using the analogy of sowing seed to the Spirit with sowing seeds, literally, giving of our means to assist those who teach the gospel. So giving our means to assist preachers and those who give to us the fruit of the word, and it's compared to a sowing seed and then producing fruit, whether apples or corn or whatever it would be. The spirit of man has needs. Our spirit needs to be fed, clothed, and sheltered, if you will, and by the instruction of the word. And the giving of our means to aid those in teaching us, we are in fact sowing to our spirits, that we may be spiritually provided for. Paul tells us again in Philippians that this giving of our means to support the gospel is beneficial for both parties. In Philippians, we just read, I believe verse 15 a few moments ago, but Philippians 4 and 14 says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." We help support Brother Nate and his family. And when we do so, we are seeking more than just someone to fill in on the teaching schedule to help assist us in that. We are sowing to our own spirits that we may, through his aid, his assistance, that we may reap the fruit thereof, that we may grow in knowledge and grow spiritually. That is what that is for. It's much more than just want to have a good speaker, as Nate is, and very knowledgeable. It's that we may, that giving of that money is us sowing the seeds to our spirit, that we may reap bountifully. And if we sow the spirit, then of the spirit we shall reap. And that reward for a life spent sowing to the spirit yields a harvest producing everlasting life. And Paul says also, "And let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We so often are looking for that instant gratification, that immediate reward for our actions. And Paul tells the brethren here in Galatia to not give in to this mindset, to not grow weary in doing good, in giving of our means, in supporting of the work of the church. Why? Because in due season, we will reap, but only if we do not lose heart. There will be blessings that we experience for our well-doing, but the reward to the faithful that God has in store for us is yet to come. And if we do these things and we do not lose heart in them, then we shall reap of that reward. Finally, here in this passage, we read that, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." The use of the word "therefore" seems to imply that it's speaking of what came earlier in this passage. And from reading this and then from doing some studying, it seems that there are a couple different ideas of what this means. I don't believe it really matters that much how you may interpret this last verse. I'm aware of no great doctrinal significance if you take it one way or the other. I have my thoughts on myself, but I'll give the two different sides of how they think this interprets, and you can just study and decide for yourself. There in the end it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." And one of the thoughts on this last verse is, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all," meaning all mankind, which you can find scripture to back that up. We are to do good to all mankind. And then when it says, "especially those of the household of faith," then making a particular caveat, we do good to all men, but especially to those who are fellow believers and members of the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, which I believe you can find other scripture to back that up. In verse 10, the first of verse 10, there's the word "therefore," which seems to mean that it's drawing from previously mentioned statements. In the first of chapter 6, which we didn't go over, but it mentions sharing in others' burdens, which potentially would mean if there's someone has a financial difficulty they are struggling with, that we would assist them in that. And then also in those last five verses we went over, talking about supporting those who teach the gospel. And it seems here that the "therefore" is Some would believe that that means, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, meaning all of the two categories that we have given here. And then when it's, then it says, especially those who are of the household of faith, this being specific to those who are in our home congregations. And there is other evidence of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, it reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So when it says provide for his own, it seems to be possibly your extended family, those who are your family remotely. And then it goes on to say, especially for those of his household, meaning those of his immediate family. And so some would take that to mean that not that we're not supposed to do good for all as we have opportunity, but in this particular passage, it is within the context speaking of we're to do these things for those who it specifically mentions, but especially for those who are of our congregation, those who we have immediate contact with, those of the household of faith. So I don't believe any of those are maybe particularly wrong. I believe there's other scripture to back up both of those ideas. But the main point as I close my lesson, I know it was short, but it's a little warm in here, so I'm sure y'all won't mind. The main point I want to get through this lesson is we have our meeting coming up, I hope everyone will be able to attend that meeting. With the congregation here, we assist those preachers. We give them money when they come here, and that is not just some arbitrary amount that we give. There's thought that goes into that. What we assist Nate with is not just some random amount, and it's for a purpose. And that purpose is for whether it's gospel meetings or what's an evangelist, where we're sending money overseas to other places or to other brethren who spread the gospel. In doing so, we are sowing seed to the Spirit. We're doing so that we ourselves here and those abroad may reap of that seed, that they may grow in spirit and truth, and they may be able to take advantage, and that we can take advantage of what opportunity has afforded us here. That's the remainder of my thoughts this evening. We never want to close a service without offering the gospel invitation. If there's one who has not been baptized for the remission of sins and you feel that you need to be, we'd be more than happy to assist you in that. Or if you would like the prayers of the church on your behalf, in some fashion, we'd be happy to assist you in that as well if you'll come while we stand and while we sing.